This is Mythical.
We're so excited to introduce you to Great Jones. Great Jones makes high-quality, thoughtfully designed cookware that's so stunning you won't want to put it away. From Dutch ovens to ceramic dishes to non-stick sheet pans, they've got you covered.
Heck yeah, they do. Their products come in a variety of amazing colors, from classic black and white to pinks, greens, yellows, and blues. And the best part, Nicole, everything's non-toxic.
Josh, I've been in the market for a kettle for months.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about it a weird amount.
Yeah, I've bought like a bunch, returned a bunch, but I just got my hands on the Great Jones Fellow Kettle collab, and I got it in the color broccoli, and I'm so excited to make artisanal teas and coffees. I'm trying to get on my coffee game right now, and I'm so excited to use a gooseneck kettle. We have no idea.
I'm excited to use their yellow hot dish, aka casserole dish. Shout out to Minnesota and Fargo, North Dakota. I'm at that point in my life where I'm like, I'm an adult, I should have nice vessels to serve food out of.
Sure, fair.
Instead of just serving it on like stainless steel restaurant style things. And I like it. It's cute. It's got a good design. Bakes really well. Holds heat. I'm in, baby. And once you try Great Jones, you'll want to share it with friends. They make stunning gifts that are actually useful. Weddings, housewarming parties, birthdays, it's the perfect gift for the foodie in your life.
So upgrade your kitchen and replace those old, rusted hand-me-downs with bold, beautiful, long-lasting pieces from Great Jones. Get started today at greatjones.com and get an extra 15% off your first order with promo code SANDWICH. That's greatjones.com, promo code SANDWICH.
Jack the Ripper, Jeffrey Dahmer, John Wayne Gacy. Truth be told, the biggest serial killer isn't any of these guys. It's an inappropriate milk pour in a big bowl of Cap'n Crunch. Today, Nicole and I answer a very important question. Do you pour the milk or the cereal first? This is A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What?
Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Hendizadeh.
And today, Nicole, I know I say this every week.
Yeah, you do.
No, but this honestly, this is a classic debate. This is a classic culinary conundrum.
Does it have to be?
I don't think it has to be.
Be.
It's shocking because there are ones like pineapple on pizza where I understand, right?
There's yeah,
like,
I get that.
Yeah, should boneless wings be called wings? Those are ones that I understand. But do you pour the cereal or the milk first? I had no idea it was a debate.
It shouldn't be a debate because there's only one right answer. It's the cereal first and then you put the milk.
And Nicole, a week ago, I would have agreed with you. My whole life, I would have agreed with you. But like when we talked about doing this podcast, you and I are both lifelong cereal first pourers.
Of course.
Because to me, yes. It seems intuitive to do that.
Yeah. Why would you? It doesn't make sense like ergonomically, mathematically, even spiritually. It doesn't make sense.
That is the thing. We always talk about people implying some sort of moral purity about different food things. Like when people talk about you should only eat a steak medium rare, there's some sort of like elitism about it. The cereal first versus milk first thing takes it to a whole new level where it's not about moral purity. It's just like you're an actual psychopath.
Yes.
You have bodies in your closet.
Chaotic evil.
Chaotic evil.
That's
if you
chaotic.
Pour the milk first. So I decided, Nicole, like what's that show? Mindhunter, right?
Yeah,
where
yeah.
The dude.
Hannibal.
Hannibal, yeah, it goes in the minds of the serial killer or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, that's Hannibal.
Is that Hannibal?
Hannibal does that.
I thought he just eats people.
Yeah, but no, it's the guy that works alongside Hannibal. I just finished
Watson.
Hannibal. No, who's Watson? That's the detective.
The point is, I decided to, nah, that's Enola Holmes.
Enola Holmes, Enola
I've heard
Holmes.
It's a good movie.
Sherlock.
Anyways, I've decided to get into the mind of the serial killer
wow.
and go into the belly of the beast, and for a week, I bought some nice whole milk. And I mixed it with protein powder because that's how I eat my cereal. And I got a box of Special K red berries.
Wait, back up.
Go ahead.
You put protein powder in your milk?
Yeah. I like because I love eating cereal,
uh-huh.
but I want to get the macros. I
yeah.
want to get it's bulking season.
I get that.
So I want the protein. So I mix protein powder with milk, and
okay.
then which is a whole separate.
That's cereal.
What?
Protein powder is cereal.
What do you mean protein? The cereal doesn't have protein. Like, if they made protein-infused Cap'n Crunch, that'd be a huge hit for the bro community. The bro community, and I think I can speak as in...
There's protein-infused cereals,
you know,
maybe.
They do make protein-infused cereals. There have been a couple cool companies out there, but the problem is
mm-hmm.
they don't, like, absorb milk, which we'll get into later, milk absorption
uh-huh.
Functions. But anyways... In my Special K red berries, I poured my protein milk sludge, which we can just call milk, first. For the first time in my life,
mm-hmm.
I've never done that before. And I did it every day for a week.
How did you feel? Tell us.
I felt more adult.
What?
I will tell you why. I think I have ascended to a certain galaxy brain spiritual plane. So there are a couple arguments. Like, what is your main argument for why you pour the cereal first?
It feels incorrect. It feels wrong.
But the thing,
to
it's
pour
like,
the liquid into a bowl before solids.
You know what? I would have said the same thing until about a year ago. I started changing the way. So a lot of people actually say that, not a lot of people, like six wackadoos on Twitter have been like, hey, cereal is a salad because
no,
the milk
I'm
is the dressing.
No, this is not the prompt. I do not want to.
No, this is going somewhere. This is going somewhere. How do you put your salad dressing on top of the salad then toss it?
Yes. How else are you supposed to do it?
I do it the complete opposite.
You
and there
put
is
the dressing
an Epicurious,
in the bottom of the bowl?
Of course I do. That way you get a much more even distribution when you toss it. And also, this doesn't necessarily apply to cereal and milk, but this is going somewhere. I like to make my vinaigrettes in the bottom of just like a big old mixing bowl.
Ugh.
And then however
You're
much vinaigrette
person?
I have, I add the salad Ugh. To fit the amount. And then I toss it by hand, massage the dressing into the lettuce a little bit. My hands are washed. This is how I make salads. And this is how some of the best salad makers I know make salads.
Okay, yes, I agree with you on that. But the ratio of salad dressing to lettuce versus milk and cereal are two totally different things.
You can't see this, but I'm doing the conspiracy theory hand movements. But it's not about the ratio necessarily. It's about process, right? We're talking liquid first
Why
and then
not?
Solid first.
No, you have to consider all fronts whenever you're doing something. You can't just isolate one variable. What's the point of isolating variables whenever you need the whole... I'm talking.
I reclaim my time.
You can't consider one thing and not consider the other thing because you're eating a whole meal. Cereal's a meal.
Cereal's a dessert. Like, can we just get that out of the way to me?
Not for me.
Do you eat it for breakfast?
I eat.
Will you eat old man cereal?
I eat old man cereal. So, no, it's not a breakfast. It's not a lunch. It's not a dinner. It's a meal. It does not have a time frame.
You should. We should. Because I'm inserting myself into your business proposition.
Go ahead.
You should just create a cereal called old man cereal. You ever been to that bar just called old man bar?
No.
Do you know about
it? No. Is it on the east side?
No, it's west side. It's attached to Hatchet Hall.
I've never been to Hatchet Hall. Damn it.
Well, there's like a bar within this restaurant that's like a separate entrance and everything. And when they described building it out, they were like, we want it to just be a bar where you can just go sit in a dark room, enjoy a nice whiskey drink. And we want to feel like an old man bar, not like a party bar. So they just called it Old Man Bar.
Is it in between Finn Asian Tapas and Hatchet Hall?
No, it's like in Hatchet Hall, but you got to go around the back to a separate entrance.
There's a bar in Santa Monica called the Bukowski Bar, which has like three things on the menu. And it's a dark lit room. And you just order your drink and you leave.
That's how I enjoy drinking.
No, not me. There's more of a social animal.
You go to like one of the giant margarita.
Have you ever been to Bar Lubavitch? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, I lost an expensive jacket in Bar Lubavitch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I used to go in the back in the karaoke room. Was that
what
it was? That was a good time. Wow, I miss people so much.
I miss people.
I miss social
interaction. But now we only
have
our stupid arguments torturing our own thoughts in loneliness right now.
Straight
what I was saying,
you
need to create just a brand of cereal. It's called Old Man Cereal. That's the ultimate old man cereal. The ultimate like unflavored but like neutral, like just flavored enough to make you happy.
Kashi Goline
Goline
doesn't make
Crunch.
Me happy.
It doesn't make you happy, but you need an old man cereal that makes you happy. But anyways, point is, what I like to do in the same way that I pour my salad dressing first in the bottom of the bowl and then toss the lettuce in it, because I love full milk coverage. So I used to think that I like saying you don't like full milk coverage.
No, I eat my cereal really fast, and I eat it, like, really crispy and crunchy.
Well, then you're the perfect candidate for pouring the milk first.
No, I'm not.
Because that's the one
benefit. Because it cascades over the whole entire cereal.
No, you pour the milk first, and then you pour the cereal, and the cereal floats on top. Oh, but you're eating dense cereal, aren't you?
Yeah, see, this is the issue. I'm not eating beautiful, fluffy, gorgeous. No, I'm not doing that.
That's a game changer in this whole discussion, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm a little bit of I'm an outlier.
Because I'm also an outlier in the sense of...
I put protein goo in your
so that's a different absorption rate.
But
I use a pretty thin protein. But anyways, the one huge argument that a lot of people use for pouring milk first is that the cereal floats on top. So you
not for me,
but not for you because you're eating just like the
grape
crunchy
nuts.
Gravel.
I'm eating grape. I love grape nuts. Whoever hates grape nuts just doesn't have a distinguished palate. There's nothing I love more than those little wheat pebbles, and then some of them are like crunchier than the other ones because I think they mix up their batches. I don't know. I'm not sure. Sorry, post. But like sometimes there's like really large kernels that get really really hard, and they no matter how much time you soak them in milk, they just stay hard. And then sometimes it turns into mush, and I really enjoy that.
As a member of the soft-teethed community, not only am I only eating fluffy cereals.
What's a fluffy cereal?
Like Kix. Think about Kix, right?
Oh my
They're like
God,
a life. You could create a life jacket out of Kix that float so hard. They hit the milk and they bounce.
I used to love Kix. Wow. There's so many cereals I love.
They're good. There's a lot of pleasure in, like, the kids' fluffy cereals.
Yeah.
But the big proponents for milk first are that your cereal can stay crispier because it floats on top. But, like, you don't eat fluffy enough cereal ever have that be a factor.
No.
Because what I like to do, I like to let my cereal, I will pour a bowl of cereal and then I'll, like, make my coffee and then come back to the cereal minutes later. This is how I enjoy cereal. I like it to be, like we talk about the fried texture of food soaked in sauce, like a buffalo wing, et cetera. I like that texture of like crispy yielding to sog. I like to get it in that in-between Schrodingerian state. Right?
No way.
Where it's like a little
bit
of crunch.
Cold. It's too cold to be in. That texture's not as enjoyable when it's cold.
Well, do you have sensitive teeth?
Yes. Yes, I do.
More variables.
I have Sensodyne.
This is not sponsored by Sensodyne,
but
it should be.
No, but I love, but it Sensodyne works. I use Sensodyne once a day, and then I use regular Minty Fresh toothpaste once another day.
Everyone asks for people's skincare routines. So few people are like, bro, give me your toothcare routine.
Okay, it's really simple. Do you do oil? Have you heard of oil pulling?
Yes, I've never done oil pulling.
Okay, so
it sounds like I'd throw up.
So I did oil pulling for like a week, and my dentist friends were like, you need to stop doing that. And I'm like, why? They're like, that is horrible. Horrible for your oral health. That is disgusting. Don't do that anymore. And I said, okay. So now I just use ACT.
What's the argument for oil pulling?
I don't know.
The fads everyone just uses the phrase draws out impurities.
I don't know what
or
that
like
means.
Releases toxins, but those aren't real.
But you're just spooning coconut oil in your mouth and you're for like 12 minutes in the morning. And
anytime
so
anyone brings up the word toxin, they're like, oh, you gotta do a juice cleanse. It's gonna get all the toxins out. You just go, name a toxin.
Deoxyribonucleic acid.
That's what DNA stands for. It draws out your DNA.
What word did I say? Roxyniope.
Deoxyribonucleic acid. No, no one can name a toxin because they don't exist. It's just snake oil salesman.
I don't know any toxins by name.
Isn't that funny? The new snake oil, which I think is hilarious, and again, there might be science behind it that is not super, super available, but is anything using the term gut health?
Oh, yeah.
People like,
probiotics.
There are 35 bajillion probiotics per square milliliter, and you're like, whoa. That's a lot of probiotics.
Probiotic cereal.
Oh, I'm sure it exists.
We should make it.
We should make it. This is the whole podcast.
Lactobacillus. We remember the first time we talked about a cereal soup and we wanted to make chicken cereal?
Yeah.
Remember I made it?
Oh, yeah, you did make
that. We made chicken cereal one time. It was good.
The point is, I like my cereal completely doused in milk. And so what I used to do is I would pour the cereal first and then I would like...
Do you drink regular milk?
Yeah.
Do you have cereal with almond milk?
I do. I like it. I don't find, because I'm already like mixing protein powder and gross things. Sometimes I'll do protein powder and water and put it on my cereal. I'm not picky. If I had a choice, it would be ice cold 2% milk.
Mm-hmm.
I think a little bit thinner soaks into the cereal a little bit better than full fat milk. But I only keep full fat milk in my house because I use it for cooking so often.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do a recipe, I tried to make mac and cheese with skim milk.
Oh my God.
When I was just like, I don't want to go to the store. And
horrible.
I was at Julia's house and like there was skim milk there. I think it was Lactaid too. And it was just like disgusting. The cheese sauce broke. There wasn't enough fat to bind. It was absolutely terrible. But anyways, I would pour the cereal first. Special K Red Berries are my go-to because it's like in between sugary kid cereal and adult cereal.
Yeah.
And then I would like spray the milk over the top, trying to get the top layer wet. I would I'd shake the milk bottle.
But the top of a milk bottle is large and round.
Yeah.
You
but
put
imagine,
your thumb over it?
No, I wouldn't like do the Rachel Ray olive oil thing, but I would just try and make sure that the entire top layer got wetted by the milk.
I'm trying to visualize this right now.
It's kind of like a thing like a swirl, like when you
clean a toilet bowl.
Yeah, just like that. You're supposed to clean a toilet bowl? Why would you clean the place that you poop? You're just going to poop in it again.
George, you have to clean your toilet bowl.
Yeah, you sound like Julia now.
It's so important to clean your toilet bowl.
Actually, anytime Julia comes over, I like 5 minutes before she's there, I immediately run into the bathroom and I'm like, clean the toilet bowl.
Yeah.
Get the gross like toothpaste scum out of the sink.
You leave toothpaste in the sink?
Not like a lot, but I mean like, you know,
I
when you spit
you
the
already.
Toothpaste out.
You don't rinse it out with water?
We're never going to live together.
We never know that.
You don't know what circumstances are going to happen. We're both gonna be
There's
broke.
A high possibility I could live with you. Why not?
The Mythical Kitchen gets canceled in like a botulism scandal in 2 years.
Hey, buddy. Knock, knock. Gotta come in.
Like, you can't make fermented cereal.
You got room on your futon? I need a place to go.
No, I got a beanbag. I got a beanbag, not a futon. It's not one of the nice ones either.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
What cereal would you be if you could be any cereal?
Would I be?
Yeah, what cereal would you be?
Not what cereal would I eat for the rest of my life, but what would I be?
Yeah, what cereal are you?
Like the essence? Yeah. Probably Lucky Charms. I like,
really?
You know, yeah. I mean, they're colorful. I like that they imply a certain benefit
colorful.
To your life. I'm incredibly colorful. I'm so colorful. Look at me. I'm so wild and wacky and
animated. You're wearing beige.
Yeah, well, I exclusively wear jorts and black t-shirts and like... You know, I'm not going to apologize for that. But no, I think Lucky Charms, I like that they imply a benefit to your life. You know?
No.
It's like this is a charm.
Oh, okay.
It is lucky. Your life will be improved by the cereal. Whereas, you know, stuff
is
like blueberry
it?
Is just like, I'm going to frighten you. So I prefer, you know, something that benefits other people's lives. Because that's me. I'm a giver.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah. What cereal would you be? Completely insane question.
It's not an insane question. Barbara Walters asked Audrey Hepburn, if you could be a tree, what kind of tree would you be? Yeah, it's absurd, but it's
still accurate. What does she answer? I feel like she'd say, like, I'd like to be a Douglas fir.
Probably Douglas fir. Probably some sort of, or like an oak. I would be Oreo cereal.
Oreos?
I'm void of...
You get canceled and then you come back 2 years later,
yeah,
even though no one really wanted you?
I'm void of all nutritional value.
No substance.
No substance. I just taste good. And then people get nostalgic about me because they miss me, but they don't realize what they got till it's gone.
You're the toxic friend. You're the toxic friend in the group that like people don't appreciate because she doesn't bring anything of value. They're like, Nicole doesn't make me a better person.
No, it's so true.
But then you leave the friend group and everyone's like, oh, I miss her because you're like the instigator.
Yeah, my group chat is bone dry.
Your friends just sending fantasy football memes.
That's good.
That's like our men be sharing
Josh,
fantasy football memes instead of going to therapy. What's up?
So how did you feel putting milk first?
I will say I mentioned this 20 minutes ago and meant to talk about it. But then we started talking about some other things. I felt the same way that I did when I started making my dressings first.
Okay.
In the salad, which to me, it felt more adult. It felt more professional.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that is just a rejection of the things that I grew up on. You know when like you grow up with certain ideas and then you like kind of like, you're like, I want to branch out on my own. You create different ideas as you grow up.
Sure, yeah.
That's how I felt pouring the milk first. I don't think there are a lot of valid arguments to why you should pour the cereal or milk first. I think this is a lot of these arguments come from a very emotional place.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that people say, and this I can agree on if you're someone who cares about the amount of food you eat, which I am not. I'm pretty indiscriminate.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just kind of eat things till I don't want to eat them anymore.
Yeah.
But you, like, the cereal is the main dish, if that makes sense, right? And the milk is essentially the... You say you're like eating a bowl of cereal, like the nutrition, despite cereal not having much, the nutrition is supposed to come from that. And then the milk is like aiding and abetting.
Yeah.
So why would you measure
it? It completes the dish you are consuming.
Correct. But in theory, like you should be measuring. I know people don't measure the amount of cereal, but you should at least be like guesstimating the amount of cereal that you want.
Yeah.
As opposed to guesstimating the amount of milk that you want.
Yes.
So the milk should be dependent on the cereal. I do understand that. However, I like to think of it like how you make pasta. In a way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because, like, again, this is, like, growing up, right? This is, like, me realizing that I should be making the vinaigrette or salad dressing first and then tossing the vegetables, the lettuce, and that. When I realized that you need to, like, sauce pasta in the pan.
Okay, yeah.
Right? Like,
yes.
You should, in theory, have the same amount of noodles and sauce that you want, right? But since you're finishing...
I don't know.
I'm saying, like, when you make pasta at home, right? You're finishing the pasta and the sauce.
Yeah.
Like,
and
a
then
good
I add
cook
pasta
should.
Water.
Yeah. And then you add the pasta water, et cetera. But, like, you're making the amount of sauce first, essentially, right? The amount of sauce determines how much pasta you use.
No, I gauge my I always gauge my pasta first, and then I make my sauce based off of how much pasta I'm going to eat.
Interesting. I always just make a giant batch of sauce.
Uh-huh.
Not necessarily a giant batch of sauce. I will make whatever sauce that I'm making, and I will have that in the saucepan, and then I will add enough pasta to that.
Interesting. And so then, we're totally opposite.
And so I generally end up with, like, leftover pasta that's, like, cooked and that I just kind of put in the fridge, and then I eat. It's like a rainy day, just, like, need some food in my body, put some pasta in.
Yeah,
but you're making the sauce to fit the pasta.
Yes, always. I always measure out my pasta with my hand, see how much, I don't even know what the measurement is. I just say, that's good.
Give me a fist of sketti.
Yeah, I'm like, whatever, this fist of sketti is enough. And then I make my sauce based on that. I always make fresh sauces, so I never use jarred sauces.
Yeah, no, I mean, never. There's a couple jarred sauces that I do love.
I heard Rayo's is good.
Yeah, Rayo's is like $12. Who's got Rayo's money?
Not
these
I.
Days?
I don't have, not I.
No, I'm buying, like, it's just called, it just says Classico on it. You know, and it's like $1.79, and you can
Classico.
See. No, it's not Prego. It's like a. It's like it's on the shelf. It's on the shelf below Prego,
but above Kroger.
But above Kroger, yeah.
I love Kroger sauces.
Kroger sauce is great.
They like come in. Their Alfredo sauce comes in handy many, many times in this kitchen.
Because you just need like white creamy to a dish. Yeah, just toss in some Alfredo sauce.
It works in it. It literally saves my behind on like 85% of mythical food stuff. But Josh. I'm upset because you say that you put milk first and then cereal and you feel more like an adult. But isn't cereal supposed to take you back to a time when you were just learning your fine motor skills and knowing that, hey, you can use a spoon to put food up to your mouth and it gets a little messy and it gets a little wet. But it's like, don't you want to feel kind of youthful and young when you're eating cereal?
Nicole, I'm glad you asked that because I contain multitudes. And I think food, no, this is real. This is going to sound stupid and convoluted, but food is meant to invoke several different things, right?
Yeah.
Food can invoke nostalgia and joy. Food can evoke sophistication and elevation.
Yeah.
And I think it just depends on what you want. I mean, you're eating old man cereal, right? So you're kind
but
of like rejecting the nostalgia.
No, because I was raised on old man cereal. The only sugary cereals we would have in my house was maybe once in a while when mom would feel bad for me. She'd be like, here, eat some Oreos. And then, or Honey Nut Cheerios. I never grew up with sugary cereals in my house.
Interesting. So for you, nostalgia is old man.
Yes.
Old man nostalgia.
Yes.
Benjamin Button factor, you could say.
Also, I don't eat my cereal out of a bowl.
What are you never eating cereal on a plate?
No.
You weirdo? You serial killer? You psychopath?
No. I eat
You're delusional narcissist.
No, let me finish. I eat it out of a blue Solo cup.
Why? Pray tell. Why do you eat your cereal out of a blue Solo cup? I know those because we used to exclusively buy the blue ones at UCLA because we hated USC so much that we wouldn't even buy the red ones.
First of all, easy cleanup. Second of all, though.
How hard is it to rinse out a cereal bowl? You don't even need soap.
You know what? I'll tell you why. Because I used to eat cereal exclusively out of those little sippy bowls. You remember the sippy bowls?
Yeah.
The bowls with the straw.
Uh-huh.
So you could slurp up all the extra milk that your mom would pour for you, even though you said stop. Yeah, so it kind of reminds me of that because it's a really bright blue color. And then I eat it with a spoon.
I had that same blue sippy bowl, by the way.
Yeah, I did too.
And got from the 99-cent store.
Yeah, yes, of course. But it was a pack of three because it also had yellow and orange. And then, so it had like it has a wide mouth. So it's almost like a bowl, but it's deep. And then the grape nuts get stuck on the cup. And it's really enjoyable for me.
What we're learning from this is that the world of cereal eating is so varied and wide and vast. And people eat cereal for different reasons using different techniques out of a plastic Solo cup, despite being like an adult and culinary professional. Which I guess like the fact that chefs are just like, you know, they'll be drinking
kids.
Like Krug champagne out of, you know, a deli cup and stuff.
Yeah.
It's actually very fitting for a chef. I will say I did not like those sippy bowls because to me, okay, so there is a reason liquids taste more when you don't drink them from a straw.
Yeah.
Like beer tastes more out of a can than a bottle because you're getting airflow to juxtapose.
Sure.
I read like one article that said this. I don't know if it can be like absolutely verified, but it's something that I believe, right? Because you're getting like, think about when you tilt a glass up to your nose or whatever, you're not like you're drinking through your nose. Think about when you tilt a cup up to your mouth, you're like smelling the soda, the coffee, the juice, whatever mm-hmm. you're drinking.
Yeah.
And that adds to the amount of taste. So for me, I don't like to, you know, slurp my cereal milk through a straw because I want to get all those aromas and I want to go and get all that airflow in like I'm slurping down a bowl of ramen.
I don't know. It's, again, it's that nostalgia factor for me. Like, also, do you know that Christina Tosi made a whole entire line based off of cereal milk?
Yeah. She like, claimed to have invented.
Yeah.
Like, the dude who delivered me ice cream on his bike in Westwood 8 years ago didn't invent it. Shout out to Chul, who used to bring me ice cream. Dude, that guy was a madman. He would just drive, he would just, like, bicycle around with, like, a cooler full of dry ice and ice cream pints and deliver it to people from Instagram orders.
Wow.
Anyways, he was doing cereal milk before Christina Tosi, but I just want to say that.
Okay, well, I wish I met him. But she made a whole brand based off of cereal milk. So cereal milk is, like, a big thing. So I feel like the only people that would enjoy cereal milk are people that pour their milk first because it soaks faster. Does that make sense?
If you pour your milk first, you're saying this, the cereal soaks faster.
Yeah, because you are in... Whenever you're pouring your cereal, you're making a mountain.
Yeah.
And you pour it over the mountain, but I'm such a child. I'm so juvenile in the way I speak sometimes. It's
yes.
Like, am I 27 years old? No, you're not. So it's like a cereal mountain, and then you pour the milk over the cereal mountain, and then it pools at the bottom, but in the inside, until you like take your spoon and you break up the mountain, it doesn't get wet.
No, but either way, you're not getting wet until you break it with a spoon. Until you go in with a spoon. Again, as someone who's done this.
No, because you don't have the
floaty cereals.
Exactly.
Though.
You don't have the flatness of the bowl or solo cup. You don't have the flatness. So it's suspended in a liquid and it slowly starts to sink into there. And then the other layer starts to sink in there. It's like the water cycle, Josh.
You're talking about Ricky Raindrop? You grew up with Ricky Raindrop, right?
No.
You didn't grow up with Ricky Raindrop? You don't know about Ricky Raindrop. Ricky Raindrop was an anthropomorphic raindrop that shamed you into turning the faucet off when you brush your teeth.
No.
He was a part. I thought he was a part of the whole California State school curriculum.
I don't remember.
We had like a dude show up in a raindrop costume every year.
No.
Like, hey kids, I'm Ricky Raindrop. If you don't turn off the faucet while you brush your teeth, you're a piece of crap and wants me to die.
No, I don't remember that at all.
Oh man. Well, anyways.
But this is all like we need to get the physicist in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just need the physicist in here to tell us what the saw grade is.
From my perspective, mm-hmm. and again, as someone who lived inside the mind of these serial killers pouring the milk first, what I have seen is that you get less even milk distribution when you pour the cereal first. Because like I said, I like to slosh the milk around the top.
Yeah, but that's weird.
It is weird. And I understand that people might not do that, right? They probably pick one spot in the bowl to pour it in. So you're getting like partial milk coverage on the cereal.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you pour the milk first, you're getting almost no milk coverage on the cereal because you're creating a layer that rests on top.
Right? Are you going to continue doing this?
I was getting to that.
Oh.
I am. I am, in fact. I am now a milk first pour. If not.
Forever?
Well, not about forever. I change my mind on things like all the time. But for now, I'm going to keep doing it until it no longer serves me, which is, I suppose, what you should do with any sort of custom culinary or otherwise.
Yeah.
But the reason that I will keep doing it is because there's a part of me, might be related to ADHD, that needs like order and ritual.
Yeah.
And
sure,
so what I realized I love to do is pour the milk first, then the cereal goes on top, and then the top cereal is virginal, untouched by the milk. And then I can use my spoon to push it down like the way that I toss a salad and dressing.
Uh-huh.
And I can uniformly then cover the cereal in milk.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know.
And then
what
I
you
let
mean.
It sit. Then I go take a meeting in my bathroom.
Uh huh.
And then I come out. My cereal is perfectly distributed among the milk and sogged up.
I understand your viewpoint and I respect your
Thank
viewpoint,
you.
But I will never do that myself.
That's fine.
Is
do
it?
You think I'm a bad person for doing it?
Of course not. Why would I think?
Do you think I'm a bad person for other reasons that we haven't talked about today?
I think this is a psychopathic tendency you have, and I'm sorry, but I think it is. It makes me uncomfortable.
I watched a really cool episode once. I think it was Amy Schumer's show. Full Frontal, not Full Frontal. What's it called? Inside Amy Schumer.
Inside Amy Schumer.
Where she like interviewed a psychopath. Like someone who actually, or no,
Sociopath?
Sociopath.
Mm-hmm.
She interviewed a sociopath and the guy was like, hey, look, like, despite not really being able to understand human feelings, we don't all just kill people. Some of us are just like kind
of
confused,
of
but still understand I'd be a good person.
I know that.
I'd like to throw myself in that bracket.
Okay.
Benevolent psychopath.
I mean, I don't think you're a psychopath. I think we all have psychopathic tendencies, or maybe it's, what's the other word?
Sociopath,
psychopath. I think there are tendencies that we all have, like, little, like, nuances of. This is just yours.
Yeah.
Mine is looking up other serial killers for fun. Other.
Who's your favorite?
Other was the wrong word.
Favorite serial killer.
It's Richard Ramirez.
The Night Stalker. He was hot.
I also like the guy. What I don't remember his first. I think it's Albert Fish.
Albert Fish. Yeah. Early 1900s. Did some weird stuff.
Yeah, those are my two
favorites. I'm a big fan of Ed Kemper.
Oh, Ed Kemper.
Yeah,
because
if I was starting a starting five basketball team of serial killers, that dude was like 6'8". I put Ed Kemper in the post. Anyways, enough about serial killers. What we've learned today, I mean, honestly, though, serial is something that is so connected to nostalgia, and so many people have so much ritual built around. We talk about that with things like pizza, right? It's an identity food, like how you do this thing, and especially finding out that other people don't do a thing like you do it. You know, it's like a really interesting thing to find, and then people naturally go way too far and over the board and performative in their hatred of the other on this.
Performative hatred.
Performative hatred.
That's what it is.
That's what this is. Yeah. It's all performative hatred, which, again, I understand why it's, like, fun, right? That's the whole point of this podcast, is kind of poking fun at the idea of performative hatred while simultaneously kind of doing it ourselves.
Of course.
And I don't regret that.
Not at all.
At all. But, no, as someone who was a lifelong cereal first pourer and switched to milk first, I will tell you, two camps, you have more alike than you think.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
All right, Nicole, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the interverse. Spider-Man into the interverse. Oh, whatever. We're running with that take. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casserole.
Everybody's got one and they smell like onions. Everybody's
You're pitchy and you should be here.
Everybody.
And you're here.
Everybody's got one.
Okay, first up, we got Vigil Michael. Trail mix is a salad.
Yep.
No, trail mix is trail mix.
Yep.
Trail mix is a, yeah, it's, you it's ever a bag
had
a, of nuts.
You ever had Waldorf salad?
Yeah, trail mix can be a salad ingredient, which is technically in a Waldorf salad.
No,
yeah. Which is what, like, apples, grapes, mayonnaise, and trail mix, kind of?
Walnuts, and grapes.
Well, the walnuts are the trail mix.
Yeah, yeah. This is, trail mix is a dried salad.
Ensalada seca.
Ensalada seca.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Honestly, fancy trail mix, like, that's one of those things that I've appreciated as I've gotten older.
Yeah.
Like, fancy granola, fancy trail mix, I'm into it. But it's still got to have generic M&Ms in it, ones without the M on it. And they taste just a little bit worse.
Yeah, they're They're
Melt in your hand and in your mouth.
Nate Henry 12345 says, I crush up my instant ramen noodles and make a ramen mush with salty chicken flavor. Okay.
Yeah, I love
know.
This. I love it. It's porridge. It's porridge.
Ew, no.
You're making guk in Korean? Yeah, this is just a noodle porridge, dude, and I'm all for that. One thing that I do think is strange is, like, the idea of chicken noodle soup in America.
Mm-hmm.
Because the noodles are just so over. Like, it's not like any, like, Asian noodle soup, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, in, you know, ramen and pho, whatever, the noodles are, like, cooked fresh and they are served completely separately.
Yes.
Right? Like, say you're ordering takeout, which I've done a whole lot with noodle soups during the quarantine, right? The noodles get added to the broth, like, at the last minute. And that's the point, because the noodles need to have a certain texture.
Sure.
Whereas, like, American chicken noodle soup, it's just like, throw the noodles in there and boil it for 9 hours till it's a mush. I think that's interesting. I've also gotten a lot of matzo ball soup, and I do not like noodles in my matzo ball soup.
I don't like noodles in my matzo ball
the
soup.
I don't like when they're competing. They're called, like, in economics, substitute goods, right?
Yeah.
They're substitute goods. Like, the other day, I was just making a complete, like, mishmash of leftovers in my fridge, and I ended up with beans and potatoes in the same dish, and I got really mad about it.
Because
every time I thought I was getting a bite of potato, I'd be like, potato.
Bean.
And then I'd be like, bean.
Oh.
Every time I thought I was getting a bite of bean, I'd be like, ooh, bean. And I'd be like, potato.
Oh, interesting.
They kind of distract from each other.
You know what you should do? cut your potatoes in a different shape than the bean.
Oh. Oh, a nice little fun potato
shape. There you
go. Because, yeah, I would. If it was like a baked potato, like topped with beans,
yeah,
cool with that.
Yeah, that's different. That's different. All right. I don't like this because it tastes, I don't like that. Because I like long noodles.
All right, we got at Jolene Joanne. Nicole, I think you're going to like this one. Savory oatmeal is better than sweet oatmeal.
Okay, so I made a tweet recently about cream of wheat being a savory option, and I do think it is. I think we need to switch over from thinking things are automatically sweet or automatically savory. I think that's so whack. Carbohydrates are a blank slate. Oatmeal is one of them. Cream of wheat is another one. Amaranth is another one. There's just so many options. It's a blank slate. It's a normal flavor. It's all the same thing. And I think that they should be sweet, savory, either. It doesn't even matter.
I knew exactly what people were gonna reply to your tweet with. Because you said like you want like a coffee rubbed tri-tip on a bowl of cream of wheat seasoned with something. And I knew everyone was going to come in and be like, why not grits?
Yeah.
It's like, bro, because I want wheat. I want wheat. I don't want corn. And I also like sweet grits. That's like a huge debate among a lot of Southern people. Yeah. Is there some people who put butter and sugar and cinnamon sometimes in their grits?
Yes.
And a lot of people, like, it's like the cereal debate where it's just like, you're an absolute psychopath for doing that. Sweet grits are really lovely. It's just like a dense corn custard.
Yeah.
And ditto with like, I obviously love savory grits just doused in hot sauce. Maybe put some smoked gouda in there.
Yeah.
Top of the shrimp, some Creole sauce. But no, I love the idea of savory oatmeal. Like you said, carbohydrates are a blank canvas. Do whatever you want with them.
Yep. Aleski01 says, I like floppy bacon and can't stand getting bacon that shatters when you bite into it. I'm the same way. I like my bacon nice and soft and supple and squishy.
Girl, hard Sam. I like a little bit of crisp that then yields to the suppleness of the fat.
Yeah, just a little. Also, I went to the Rose in Venice and I had a really beautiful block of bacon.
Oh, like a whole piece of pork belly that had the bacon treatment?
Beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. With some grainy mustard on the side and some garlic rubbed bread. It was delicious.
Yeah, I love when people take like pork belly cubes, like they don't cut it into, right? Bacon is just made from pork belly, but it's sliced lengthwise to keep that fat striation. But I love when people just make like thick nuggets
me too.
Out of it and then just give it the bacon treatment of sugar, salt, curing, and smoking. Yeah, bacon's fun. It's overrated. We've talked about that, but it's still so fun. All right, at Carrie Kacharski, a grilled cheese with ranch is the best combination. Oh, no one can change my mind. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
No.
Yeah, dip all your sandwiches in ranch. I don't even need it to be a sandwich, just bread and ranch. Anytime I go to a restaurant, they're serving bread and butter. I throw the butter off the table.
Okay.
I throw the butter off the table, Nicole, and I say, sir, a bowl of your finest ranch.
Okay, this is only acceptable at Cheesecake Factory if you're eating the brown bread. Anywhere else, it is shameful and you should go to food jail immediately. But at Cheesecake Factory, you take the brown bread and you dip it in the ranch. And then if you're feeling freaky in the studio late night, you ask for the Santa Fe dressing on the side too. And you dip your brown bread in that after.
I don't think there's any problem with that. I mean, salad dressing is just a delicious condiment. Bread's a blank slate. I want to taste the salad dressing.
Oh my God, it's so good. But I don't agree with grilled cheese and ranch. I like ketchup and grilled cheese because I don't like it, Josh.
Have you ever like spread ranch on?
No.
Okay, no, hold on. I'm thinking about, because the idea, I love like bad red sauce Italian food, right?
Yeah.
Where you're paying like $8 for spaghetti.
Yeah.
And they always give you like the garlic bread that you're like, I think you just bought the frozen stuff from Albertsons, but that's cool. I love just getting a side of ice cold ranch that comes straight out of, you know, the freezer that has like the 2-year-old expired Coronas.
Sure.
And I love getting the ice cold ranch and dipping the garlic bread in that. But I'm wondering, could you take that ranch, spread it on bread, and then broil that? And what would that taste like?
Oil.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you think a big proponent right now in the grilled cheese community is to mayonnaise your bread and then get that extra crispiness.
So you're thinking instead of mayonnaising the outside, you'd be ranching the outside?
Yeah.
Huh.
Ranch it up, in the words of Eric Andre.
I love Eric Andre. I have a big crush on Eric Andre.
I would ask him to come on the show, but I'm afraid.
Don't be afraid. There's nothing to fear but Eric Andre itself. Chocolate Ping Pong Boy, why haven't you been in Mythical Kitchens except in the corner? I'm present in Mythical Kitchen episodes. But yeah, I like being in the corner because that's my little comfort spot.
You're my corner man. You're like Mick to Rocky. No, that's not true. We are equal partners.
Mick, cut me, Mick.
Cut me, Mick. I can't see. All right, at hey, it's me, Isaac. Craft singles are the worst. They are purely plastic chemicals and disgusting. Let me educate you, hey, it's Isaac. Everything is chemicals. What do you mean chemicals? Name one of those chemicals. If you want to get myopic on it, you can be like, oh, it has soy lecithin in it. But what do these things actually do, right? Like everything, I don't think we should put all of our trust in the FDA. But if we look at foods that are actually dangerous for you to consume, it's red meat. Right. Yes. The World Health Organization put out a report that said that, you know, eating red meat, especially processed red meat, twice a week increases your probability of having cancer by like 30 times or something. Right? Or is at least 10 times. And then all these people want to come in and just be like, this has chemicals. It's bad for you because I don't understand science. Glyphosate, what? Right? Roundup. The chemical that's in Roundup, they've had to pay billions of dollars in settlements for actually giving people cancer.
Monsanto?
It's a Monsanto product.
Monsanto.
And then, you know, all these things that are like actually bad and actually hurting people, something as simple as red meat, and people come in with like, Kraft singles are chemicals, because I don't understand that all they did was melt milk with an emulsifier with cheese and then put it in a freaking wrap of plastic. Educate yourself.
Kraft singles are my favorite snack.
Yeah, you just eat them straight on.
When I'm sad. Or not, when I'm just neutral, it's just there. And I just go ham, okay? Debbie knows. My mom wouldn't buy Kraft singles, but Debbie's mom would buy Kraft singles. So what I would do is I would go to Debbie's house and I would eat a Kraft single. And I would feel so satisfied. And to this day, whenever I'm feeling weird, I eat a Kraft single and I feel better.
Yeah, I like to place it on my tongue and then go,
I slurp it.
I slurp it and it kind of flaps around.
It's also Martha Stewart's favorite snack.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yes.
Gwyneth Paltrow has a single cigarette. Martha Stewart has a single Kraft single.
It's a single single.
Single single.
Kelso 89. The heel of the bread is not for sandwiches. It is to keep the real slices from drying out. Heel of the bread? That sounds like a metal band, like a goth metal band. Welcome to the stage, heel of the bread. Anybody? Think that's funny?
No, I thought that was a poor reference to someone who does listen to all. If it was like
nobody thought that was funny in here. You guys
something
suck.
Like Enemy of the Dead or something. You know, a lot of these bands are really just
Enemy
called like
of the
Sorrow
Dead.
For Suffering.
No, no, no.
You
Enemy.
Know, like
Enemy of the
Kill
Dead.
Kill the Beast.
Heel of the Bread. Same difference.
It's like a rejected Weird Al song.
I like the heel of the bread. Sometimes I make my peanut butter and jellies on a heel of a bread and I fold it over.
The heel of the bread. So I feel like. The life I want to give my children, right, Nicole? I don't want my children. One, I want them to be like, you know, free from any debts and strife, of course. But most of all, I want to be like, you know, prosperous enough so they don't have to eat the bread heels. So we can just afford to throw away the gross part of the bread.
Okay, well, flip side, I want my kids to be so aware of their surroundings and where they are that they are grateful that they have heels of bread to throw away if they wanted to.
And I think it's beautiful.
But they still eat it because they know that it's good.
I want to raise the same because I don't want just entitled a-hole kids who are throwing away bread heels, but I want them to know that we could afford to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But that said, to me, the bread heels, what I do keep them as caps to keep the real slices fresh. So I respect that analogy. But then when I get to the end and it's just two bread heels, I use them before I work out. Like I like to have some sort of carbs in just any food. Mm-hmm. And so I'll keep like random scraps of bread heel. Like I'll keep a half a bread heel in a bag so I can just like eat it to get some sort of calories.
Yeah.
It's the utility calorie. It can go either in your body or in the trash. I mean, food waste is bad. But, you know. Yeah, I agree with this. The heel of the bread, it's useless. Moiety22, eggs are absolutely disgusting.
No, they're
no,
not.
No, like eggs are the basis of civilization.
Eggs are delicious. Yeah. Eggs are delicious.
Yeah, get out of here. Get out of here.
Dull face, but the L's are ones. Great name. Cabbage is so underrated. Josh, I told you, I always tell you this. Stop ghostwriting tweets. I don't care.
Nicole,
you can
I have
just
12
tell
to
me.
15 burner accounts that I will use to forward several agendas online.
Josh, you okay? can just tell me straight up. You don't need to keep hiding behind these silly.
No, I didn't hide behind
names.
Anything. Like, whoever Dullface is could be anyone. But now that we're on the subject, cabbage is the most underrated vegetable. I run through a head and a half cabbage a week. I know what you're saying, Josh. You buy a half head of cabbage? No, I buy three cabbages every 2 weeks. And they got to be at least 2.5 pounds.
Oh, my God.
The cabbages. And I put that on everything. Like, I will, you can salt the cabbage, right, and make like a kind of like coleslaw type salad.
Uh-huh.
You can use it fresh in
yeah,
salads.
You, tell them.
You can top it.
Yeah.
You can put it on top of soup. You
That's
can saute
right.
it. You can saute it in pork fat. You can
uh-huh.
make top tacos. It's the ultimate thing. And,
Preach
and,
mother.
And it's so shelf stable. Like, it keeps for so much longer than lettuce. You don't have
it
to worry
does.
About bruising. Cabbage is the ultimate food. It's my favorite vegetable. You can like roast it whole. A lot of fancy restaurants have been like roasting a quarter head of cabbage and charging 23.
No, they're not.
Charcoal in Venice?
No.
I remember. I.
That's cauliflower, me, silly man.
No, they started. It went from cauliflower because Avec Nous started doing. I love how we get into such like weird internal LA restaurant drama. Avec Nous, my boss at LA Magazine, shout out to Leslie Suter, shamed Avec Nous into stopping charging $48 for their whole roasted cauliflower because they used to do Chateaubriand, right? Which is a prestige protein. It's a beef tenderloin.
Yeah.
They would carve at the table for two, and it was like, you know, $80 or something. And then they had a like carved Chateaubriand style cauliflower head that was $48.
Well, yeah, no, you're paying for the experience.
Yeah, but like that's not actually reflected in any of the cost of the dish.
It's reflected in the service of the person cutting it
up. I suppose. But anyway, she like wrote not even like a big thing, just a small thing. And we got like a straight up email that's like, we're dropping it to 32.
Okay, wow.
And it was like, good. Okay. I think. I don't know.
I've had cabbage the way that you're saying, actually, now that I think about it. I don't remember where, but I'm pretty sure I had like a wood roasted.
Simone, the restaurant. Jessica Largie was open for a couple months.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
She demonstrated the dish on the chef show.
I can't help you.
But no, I was at Charcoal with a bunch of food writers. He has this dish where, and you know, this is the chef from Malise, who's like several Michelin stars. He's a fantastic cook, and the food at Charcoal was really good, and so was the cabbage. But he took like, you know, a quarter head of cabbage, and he like charred it in the Spanish wood-burning Josper oven, and then, you know, wrapped it in the foil with like olive oil or whatever, and it kind of like steamed and charred, and you know, everyone tasted this at the table, and you give it, served it like a yogurt dip, and they're like, oh my god, the pure essence of cabbage. I was like, bro, it's cabbage. This is food of the people. This is blue collar food.
Yeah,
you don't charge $18 for a quarter head of cabbage. That costs 16 cents.
Yeah, I agree with you. Cabbage is the food of the people. It's cabbage, the food of the everyman. It's the everyman of vegetables.
I remember I was at a friend's house when I was like a kid and not knowing anything about the world. And I always thought that cabbage was like fancier on tacos.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his dad was from Mexico. I've probably told this story before, but I want to tell it again. And he made tostadas with like, you know, a braised like chicken tinga. And then he like topped it with lettuce. And I was like, oh, hey, like, you don't do cabbage. And he was like, hell no, we're not putting cabbage on it. We're not poor.
Wow.
And I was like, this is a socioeconomic food issue that I did not know. The lettuce cabbage divide. And I'm 7. But now I know.
Nice.
And we were watching the Disney movie Luck of the Irish. And wow. Those two memories are fused.
You were the second person to bring up Luck of the Irish to me today.
It's a good movie. Sans Parsarvas, I'm getting shorter. Nicole, on that note, on what other note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. If you want to hear more from us here in the Mythical Kitchen, we've got new episodes for you every Wednesday. Compose yourself.
I can't. You're so funny. Do I do it in an Irish accent?
Yeah. Hit him with the Irish accent.
I can't. If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at Mythical Chef or @Hendizade with the hashtag Opinion Casserole.
Okay, I'm not going to do Irish for Brad Pitt from Snatch. And for more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube. We launch new videos every week.
And of course, if you want to be sharing your pictures of your dishes, hit us up on Instagram at Mythical Kitchen.
Mythical Kitchen? You sound like a drunk person trying to sound like you're Australian. I don't even talk about it. See you next time. It's not a real Northern Irish accent. It's just a Brad Pitt decided to sound like a snatch.